The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Michael C. Rupert again. It is August 21st, 2011. What a week. I picked apples on our 2 acres here in Sebastopol yesterday and today. And today we pressed about 3 gallons of cider, which is just a lot of fun. But this is an inside joke for all you longtime peak oilers out there. When I harvested the apples, I picked the low-hanging fruit. All right, so we had to start with a joke before we got down to some really, really serious stuff. If you go to collapsenetwork.com, collapsenet.com, in our homepage breaking news, this is all free for everybody. We don't keep the most important stories. We give those away, but we got to pay the bills too. But you will see 2 stories in our homepage breaking news. One is a Russia Today news segment with the great Tom Hartman, who's up in Oregon. I've done Tom's radio show many times. He's a great guy, he's just a good solid journalist. He's been around for a long time, and he has an utterly breathtaking segment, completely sourced and good journalistic standards. That absolutely makes it clear that a complete China syndrome meltdown has occurred at one of the reactors at Fukushima. Interesting that I haven't been able to find out which one yet. They may not know. But there are cracks in the ground in Fukushima, and the melted core is melting down through the ground, and cracks are opening up in the ground, and those cracks are venting enormous amounts of steam. That out of control core will keep going until probably it strikes a water table. All nuclear reactors are situated near water, which is kind of stupid. If you want to have this, you'd want to have this in, somewhere in the Nevada desert where it didn't matter how far down it went, it would entomb itself. But in this video, they're showing clear documentation that 10 sieverts per hour is a max read, and they're maxing out on everything. 500 rems is a lethal dose of radiation per hour. They were detecting 1,000 rems per hour. 500 rems, I believe, is what the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, says is the maximum allowable yearly dose, 500 rem, and here we have doses of 1,000 rem per hour and apparently higher. The video is very clear that desperation measures are being employed in Fukushima. There's more steam, new steam coming out of cracks on the ground, and what's revealed in here is that the reactors at all Fukushima the ones that were hot were breached immediately after the tsunami. All of this brings up enormous questions. First of all, where is Arne Gundersen? And we have not heard from Arne Gundersen. And which leads right to the second question, is why is nobody else talking about this? There we have another video up on the homepage in homepage breaking news at Collapse Network. From a very very articulate man in Toronto, Canada, who does an incredible video. It's called the Connecting Dots One, but you'll find that on our homepage also for free at CollapseNet. And he's taking it had just rained heavily, and he's wiping down solar panels which have collected radiation, and was detecting 20,000 counts per minute. It was 200 times the 100 scale. And it was the highest all-time record, crazy hot was his term for radioactivity in Toronto. The guy knows his stuff. You put them both together, and it is clear absolutely clear. From a journalistic standpoint, these are like mutually confirming stories because you can't expect any. Where else is the Toronto radiation coming from? Duh. Some things are very simple to understand. These are self-confirming stories that an absolute disaster. The radiation being detected now at Fukushima is 20 times more radiation than that from the Hiroshima bomb. In Japan, that doesn't play well. Clearly, that situation is out of control, and clearly, the global media is absolutely keeping a lid on it. But then, after what we've seen over the last few weeks, especially with the riots and the suppression of media and everything else in Britain and by the Bay Area Rapid Transit District, BART, what else would we expect? You need to go look at those stories. I'm watching that very closely, and I know there are many, many, many hot, urgent issues. We're going to do what we can with them tonight, but we're going to do what we can with them at a pace. The lines are open. I've got three or four emails already. If you want to call in tonight, the number is 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly, and I've got five emails already at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I kind of vented a little bit this week, in case you hadn't noticed. If you've been to the CollapseNet site, there's a video up there entitled, Say My Mean Name. No, that's the title of it. I'm a journalist, so I'm just reporting the title. The title is Say My Fucking Name. It's also up on YouTube. It's been up for about 2 days on our site, 1 day on YouTube, and it's kind of going viral. It's been watched about 6,000 times between the two sites already. And I've had enough. Besides that, we're at the point now, and it's kind of obvious in the collapse of human industrial civilization where it doesn't matter and there isn't much time. I don't care who I piss off, and there's nothing to lose at this point. The only thing that can probably save us all from becoming toast, dead, extinct, whatever, now is some kind of proactive effort to stop the infinite growth monetary paradigm, to kill it before it kills us. How long have I been saying that? So there isn't much to lose, and it's time to do, I've been saying this for weeks now, it's time to pick your sides, and I've made it very clear in that video that if you own stock now, you're my enemy. If you have financial investments now, you're my enemy because you are vested and you have a personal interest in keeping alive the infinite growth monetary paradigm. And if there are any politicians out there listening tonight, if there are any journalists out there, and I know you're all out there listening. Hi, guys. and you use the word growth in a positive statement, you have instantly identified yourself as trying to kill me and trying to kill a generation of young people around this planet, roughly 30 and under, who have no future, who understand that they are being not only left with, I think they're being anchored with the wreckage of human industrial civilization, with the wreckage of infinite growth, with the wreckage of the greatest drunk in the history of the universe, a whole species on a planet going drunk for many hundreds of years. And that generation's going to have the hangover. I just don't like it. It's time to draw a line, and I've been looking around, and I named a lot of names in this video. Mm-hmm. You know that. I'm not going to do that all again. I stand by every word. Say my name or kill me. What have I got to lose? Because if you say my name, I'm the poster boy, so to speak. I did Collapse. I wrote the books. I'm known. I got the radio show. I'm the poster boy. But when you see the poster boy, then you have to read the poster. Those of you who followed my work for a while now know that in Crossing the Rubicon, in both of my books, I go out of my way to identify and give praise to everybody everywhere who is on this side of the infinite growth line, everybody everywhere. I want them to say my name so that I can make them look at you, all of us. And I've tried to build bridges across. We're going to bring some of these people back on again soon, across all of us, because taking to the streets is not the answer now. They got the troops locked and loaded. They're ready to go. They're ready to clamp down on everything. And that's what they want. And I pray that we don't give it to them. There's some great stuff going on around the world. You might see that there's a new Gandhi in India emerging. Go check the CollapseNet homepage there. You'll find it. But, you know, so where is everybody? Where are all the great lights of my generation? Where are all of the people who wrote good songs, made good movies, lived good lives, did good things? The three or four world leaders who I know me, you know, and know that this message is out here about peak oil and about how infinite growth is going to wind up this way. And I wrote this book in 2004, and I said what I thought the world was going to look like, and here we are. And it's not because it was me, it was because the models of peak oil and the analysis of infinite growth and the understanding of the absolute corruption of the global economic paradigm of all financial institutions was its governing operating system. That's all it took to really figure out that we would wind up here. So you might want to take a look at that video. Say my fucking name, because then you have to say the name of everybody who has not been heard. And as for Ron Paul, I talk about Ron Paul on tape. I got an email about Ron Paul. He is being ignored, and I will champion him on that, because he is speaking some sanity, but he's kind of adopted a tough position. The first time I saw a video, it was an audio clip of Ron Paul giving an interview. He was being questioned about 9/11 and said that he had nothing to do with not questioning the government's position on 9/11. That, of course, gave me pause. And, you know, all I can say is at this point, I don't have to know about that today. I do know that they sure are ignoring Ron Paul in the mainstream media. He's like an elephant in the living room. But I'll say this with affection and with respect for Ron Paul. Ron, you're going to have to make another decision on 9/11 at some point. You don't have to go with the 9/11 truthers. That's a circus and that nobody's interested in. But that may come back to you. And, you know, all I can say is that I hope you continue to kick ass out there, Ron, and I hope they start listening to you, because nobody else anywhere in Washington is speaking anything remotely sane. And Rick Perry is the front runner. You know, I read this clip this week that Rick Perry was receiving major funding from Bank of America. Well, it kind of tells you where he is. But then I read an article about him that said, if he and George W. Bush were brothers, W. would be known as the smart one. Oh, shit. So anyway, so I'm really glad I got this thing out, and I'm glad people are watching it, and I expect to see something happen here. There's a lot of people out there who should say my name, should give us some air, because all I'm going to do is talk about all of us who have labored on this field so long and just not been listened to, and we're still crying in the wilderness, and we're running out of time. So anyway, I got an email this week from a regular listener. And she said, can you please play something other than New White Trash? It's so narcissistic. And I laughed. And, you know, that's not it, dear. What it is that we live in this infinite growth monetary paradigm, and if I start playing music that's not my own or not out of copyright, I have to pay royalties for it. I'm sure if you ask Gary Null, he will say the reason why he plays songs as old as the ones he does is because they're out of copyright. He doesn't have to pay. But there are policemen out there who will come and threaten to sue you if you start playing, you know, somebody else's music without paying for the airtime. So that's why I've been doing only new white trash. I know it is possible to play songs by people who give their permission, but I had this thought occur to me after I did the tape. Gee, what would happen on the Lifeboat Hour if I played a Neil Young song, a Jackson Brown song, a Joni Mitchell song, a Bob Dylan song, a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song? Would they sue me? The world's kind of inside out, ain't it? I don't know what's happened to my generation, but my generation is not dead yet. So where I am, let's get this really clearly. I will write books. I will make movies. I will give speeches. I will sing. I will dance, and I will do the hoochie coochie. If it will encourage people to start building lifeboats, if it will awaken them to what we have at Collapse Network, which is now the most useful and valuable news site in the world, bar none, and I stand firmly behind that, especially in terms of what's going on now, where we have the Lighthouse Directory that's free and where we answer your questions, and I'll do all of that if it'll help more people start to get ready faster. So tonight, on September 11th, I'm going to be giving a speech in Portland, Oregon, at the First Unitarian Church, sponsored by KBOO, one of the best radio stations ever. Many of you will remember that I gave a lecture there shortly after September 11th, 2001, which became my video, Truth and Lies of 9/11. Had 1,000 people show up for that, and I'm going back on the 10th anniversary. And let me just spare you a little anticipation. I'm not going to say much about 9/11 or 9/11 truth. It's like too late. But I am going to speak my mind. But 4 days after, 3 days after that, on Wednesday, September the 14th, 2011, I will be performing with my dear friend Lisa Mann and her band and an incredible guitar player named Sonny Hess. They're probably the best blues band in Oregon. They do a jam like every Wednesday at dusk. I've sung there before. And I got a 3-song set for 20 minutes with them. And Lisa is just an amazing, you're going to hear her tonight. I emailed her and asked her if I could play one of her tunes. She wrote a song that I think is so appropriate for the morning, for the moment. Her friend, Sonny, had breast cancer that surprised her, and then all of a sudden her life was turned inside out, and Sonny is just an amazing, amazing guitar player and really, really cool person. And the song is called, appropriately enough, and here we go, Wake Me When It's Over.
That's kind of cool.
You doing that while I'm doing that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Won't you wake me when it's over? Or did it
won't you wake me? Wake me when it's over.
Wasn't that good? Wasn't that really good? You can find that at lisamannmusic.com. Man is with two N's. Lisa, M-A-N-N, music.com. And I'm going to be singing with her and playing with her and Sonny Hess on September 14th at Duff's Garage in Portland. It's a blues jam. Lisa's becoming a blues icon almost. She's known everywhere. She's got Muddies and trophies and... She's a worker. She's getting paid. That's what counts. And I got a three-song set, and I'm going to do Born Under a Bad Sign. I'm going to do Roadhouse Blues by The Doors, and then I'm going to do Venice Boardwalk Blues, September 14th. I got something to live for, and I think we got that long. We got a couple of minutes left before we go to the break, and I want to get to a couple of emails here, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about the economy and what we can expect with that and some other stuff. And we got some emails piling up here, guys, so let's get to it. I want to see what I can help you with tonight. Justin DeArmond writes, hello again, Mike. Loyal CollapseNet member here. I was talking to you a week or so ago about being prepped. I was wondering if I should get some more gold before it gets too high. I've just come into some money and was thinking about getting a few more ounces of gold. I've only got about 6 ounces. Don't put the numbers in your emails too, because I never mind. And would like a few more. I've gotten of silver, so and have 3 months of food and 2 water purifiers. What else do you recommend I get? We need a new vehicle for the family, but what do you recommend for a good collapse-friendly vehicle? Oh, poor, that's a long show. Maybe we should do a show on that. You have no idea how grateful I am for your wisdom and guidance, Mike. My family and I are listening to your voice and looking for your lantern at the crossroads of the world. Thank you for all that you and your staff at CollapseNet do for humanity and the Great Spirit. Well, I'll pass that on to the staff at well. Let's just talk about gold now. The vehicle story is like that's way too long. We'd never get out of it. We wouldn't even touch that before the show was over. Gold is breaking out. Hugo Chavez has withdrawn all of Venezuela's gold, which is stored around the world. That's what countries do. That's to protect against revolutions and so on and so forth. And a lot was in the J.P. Morgan vault in New York, which I hope explodes at some point. A lot was in England. But what he's done is trigger the call for physical gold. Now, I've been writing for several years, that there's 100 times more paper gold out there than there is physical gold out there. And this is the great call. This is kind of a signal of the kind of overall economic week we're going into. This is where all of the rock bottom stuff is starting to get really shaken. And gold is about to break out. Peter Schiff just said today, I think it was, that there is no, the price of gold is limitless at this point. You can't put a number on it. And that's exactly my position too. And we are at the cusp of that. So if anybody is in a position to buy gold, meaning you have your immediate physical needs taken care of, you have the hard goods that you need to have, 3 months' worth of food, your survival gear, hopefully you've been doing the research, go to the Lighthouse Directory. There's checklists all over the place. There's all kinds of advice in there. 1,500 hand-picked entries to help you find what you need and answer your questions. We built that for you. It's waiting for you now at CollapseNetwork.com, the Lighthouse Directory. It's done by Susie Gruber. She did a magnificent job on that directory, and now is when it's coming of use. But if you don't buy gold now, maybe within a week or two, you won't be able to. I certainly see it's entirely possible we'll have 2,000 gold at the end of the week, next week. And I know it's like everybody wants to hit Ted Williams for the one he missed. That's one I missed, so my batting average is otherwise still good. But the point is the 2,000 gold is here. I missed it by 7 months. So if you're going to get it now, yeah, because gold will be out of sight in very short order because there's another question here, which we'll take. See if I can take this real quick, and then we go to break. This is from Manuel Menchaca. Hi, Manuel. Do you think going back to the gold standard would be a good idea for the U.S., or is it too late? Now, Manuel, mi amigo, I think that going back to the gold standard is inevitable. I think it's coming. I don't think it's something that somebody's going to make a nice idea. What's clearly happening in all the world financial markets now is that money is terrified of risk. And risk is everywhere. And that is driving everything to gold. We're going to see. But we'll pick that up after the break. Right now we're going to go and hear from our sponsors. I'm going to take a little rest. We'll be back with you in just a minute on the Lifeboat Hour. I'm looking for the time when I guess I'm going to have to write a blues song about being sad for missing the time when all I had to worry about was looking for my baby. The good old days, yeah. Welcome back to the Lifeboat Hour. Okay, we got a lot of stuff going on now. There's some good discussion coming up here. I want to take a question. I know we started the economy, but this leads to something else that I had already lined up. To talk about Libya and Syria. Question, this is from Bill. Let me read you. Hi, Bill. Libya and Syria equals one down, one to go. Beat those war drums, you oil-worshipping SOBs. Well, yeah, but there's a vast difference for me between Libya and Syria. I could care less what's happening in Libya. Right now, the mainstream media, CNN, all those assholes at Time, you know, pick a Times, they're just playing Libya for all it's worth, and it's like this huge weekend distraction. What we need to be worried about is what's going to happen with the Fed. They had a big meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, but there should be an announcement I'm expecting sometime tonight. It looks like the Asian markets are heading south. We're going to come back to that. Sorry to switch horses in the middle of the stream. Syria, however, scares the crap out of me. Because we have now, now weave Libya and Syria with Israel. This is from today's Telegraph. I had this story up. Defiant Israel rejects calls for restraint amid fears of full-blown conflict with Gaza. A three-day exchange of rocket fire and airstrikes between Israel and Hamas militants in Gaza is simmering to the point of a full-blown conflict. It's by Phoebe Greenwood from Jerusalem for the Telegraph. The trigger came last Thursday after eight Israelis were killed in a coordinated terror attack in the Sinai. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's spokesman, Mark Regev, told the Daily Telegraph, "I would remind everyone how this started with a very brutal act of violence against civilians. I don't think any country, or not Britain, nor France, nor Germany, would stand by and see their civilians attacked." So what's happening is that this has gotten out of hand. Egypt has recalled its ambassador to Tel Aviv. The tensions are increasing, and Israel is standing firm, and yet there were several retaliatory attacks. Of course, this is escalating, as that always has done in the region. It's more than tit for tat. It's tit-tit for tat, and then tat-tat-tat for the tit-tit, and you know what I mean. But this is extremely serious at the moment because Syria, is allied, the Alawite minority in Syria, which is what Bashar al-Assad is allied with Iran. And Iran is extremely, aggressive, not from a military standpoint, but in the region. It's waging propaganda wars, other wars against the Saudi regime. And Iran is backing Muqtada al-Sadr in Iraq. He is the Shia cleric who fought the U.S. troops to a standstill in Fallujah and southern Iraq in 03 and 04. Got a 2-million-man army, and it's an army. It ain't a militia. It ain't ragtag, nothing. These guys are disciplined, and they're trained. And that army, and Muqtada al-Sadr has said that there will be war if the United States does not leave Iraq by December 31st, as the treaty had called for. The U.S. government weaseled, schneezled, and dieseled, finagled, and whatever they had to do to get the Iraqi government to supposedly issue a request for U.S. troops to stay. That's not going to go down. And with Syria now, you see, with the moves to unseat, I wanted to say Hafez Assad, that was his dad, Assad in Syria, these are strategic moves before a larger conflict attempting to weaken Iran's influence. And these are desperation moves. The whole world is rushing to war at breakneck speed. I don't know how many times that I got to be right on something before something really starts to sink in. It's not just me. We're posting the stories on CollapseNet every day, and I'm bringing you the analysis, and I'm writing stories for you there. We all are. What a great team we have at CollapseNet. So it's not just Syria and Libya. It's Israel. It's the whole region, and that is the Holy Land. That is, and Israel is becoming increasingly isolated diplomatically and otherwise in the region. So that's what I'm worried about that. We've got more emails. Let's go to, this is from, who is this from? United Natures. Well, that would be Peter Charles Downey, who directed Animal Mundi. I don't know what the great book I've almost never, oh, sorry, I'm reading one of my personal emails. I got switched between inboxes. Sorry about that. Anyway, that was a great show we had last week. From Justin DeArmond, hello again. My quick question for you. My family and I are thinking about moving to Colorado to take advantage of the medical cannabis laws there. Cannabis is illegal in Kansas, yeah. However, with all that's going on, I'm not sure what to... Listen, dude, right about now, I'll cut this one short. It's like, that's one of the things you need to worry about least. make that not the only reason that you go to Colorado. This is from Austin Hill. Did you ever meet Frank Serpico? You seem like kindred souls. I think if 1 in 10 cops were like you guys, we would have a beautiful world. God bless, bro. Thank you, Austin. I had an email with Frank Serpico years ago. In my video, I talked about a lot of the Hollywood people I've met, but one of the first guys to option me was Alan Pakula, who did All the President's Men. But right after that, I met spent some time talking to Martin Bregman, who did the movie Serpico. And yeah, there are a lot of similarities. Last I heard, Frank was living in Switzerland. Anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand here. Enough of the nostalgia stuff. From Dan Felt, tips on resilient cars. Dan Felt, F-E-I-D-T. Dan Fight. In Minneapolis again, listening to the show right now. Hi, Dan. Here is a handy spot for info on resilient cars. There's a new wiki set up for this is great, Dan. I have to get this in the Lighthouse directory. There's a new wiki set up for resilient communities, families, tribes, and individuals. It's called MMii, meaning me to you, at http://. I'm going to write this down, guys. A lot of people have questions about cars. Maybe this will answer some stuff. Tell me if it's any good. http://miiu.org. There's a good set of pages building up involving resilient autos, and there's a /www.miiu.org/wiki/autos. miiu.org /wiki/autos. Okay, that's good. That could be very useful information. Thank you for that, Dan. I'll take a look at it, and be certain you'll find that in the Lighthouse directory in very short order. Kalen McIntyre, and I'll come back and talk about the economy maybe at the close of the show. Kalen McIntyre, hi, Mike, about the gold standard. I caught a video yesterday with Nicole Foss. She's been a guest on this show several times, good friend. She stayed here recently when she was passing through. The video's title included the word century, which cautions against it. Apparently the standard accepted would serve to support the rich elite or something like that. I'll try to track the video. I'm not advocating it, Kalen. I'm not saying that. I'm just, you know, for mortals like us to know what the gods are going to do and to be able to put that to our advantage to give us energy is a great thing. That's what I'm all about. I'm not advocating. You know, we're in a world of increasingly limited options and choices, and I've been saying it certain that that in one way or another the world would return to a gold standard. And all that has to do with is that's it's an artificial question to say about gold. Would you rather have a can of beans or an ounce of gold? You can't eat the beans. And and my response is, hey, dude, when gold goes to 5,000 an ounce and baked beans are really scarce, you're going to be able to buy some. You want a mix of options. But I'm not advocating it. You know, I'm just telling you what I see coming, especially this week. Let's talk about a little bit what I'm seeing economically this week. I think gold very clearly could be through 2,000 by the end of the week. But there's a story that that Zero Hedge is one of the great great outfits, publications out here that, you know, we feature their stuff religiously because it's all good on the World News Desk at CollapseNet. We frequently put their stories on the homepage, and this is one that's up there now. Is it has to do with, it sounds technical and it doesn't sound dramatic, on EU bank solvency or liquidity or both. And of course Europe is lost. You know, will somebody please pronounce it dead so that we can end the suffering, put it out of its misery? But in this article written by Bruce Krasting, dated 8/20, that's yesterday, which we put up today on the breaking news, here's a quote from way down in the bottom of the story. Quote, the announcement of the swap lines will not come from Wyoming. That's the Jackson Hole meeting I was talking about. It will happen on a Sunday night. It should be tonight or next week. It either happens before next weekend or the weekend after. Okay, so very short time window. Given that things are rapidly unwinding in the EU funding markets, I don't think they want to wait another 2 full weeks to put a Band-Aid on the problem. They have to do something sooner than that. If they don't, they risk a full-scale liquidity blowout before September. If the blowout were to happen, it would be very difficult to reverse. They have to attempt to get ahead of the problem before it is a crisis. Now, what's been happening is shaking out in the, if you will, the lower tiers of the economy. But now, it's not just capital flows, the Federal Reserve may actually get quantitative easing by opening up direct lines, which most of us would have thought was illegal, but, you know, since when do laws matter anymore, to European banks in an attempt to stem that. But the crisis is now systemic, and some second-tier banks around the world, Société Générale in France, which is probably a first-tier bank, are teetering, and this is now the point where we were roughly in 2008 after Lehman Brothers when all the bailouts started. The easiest way to explain what's happening now is that they ain't no more bailouts. They ain't no more tools in the toolkit. And this $1.4 quadrillion dollar derivatives bubble is imploding. And there's no place to run because there's nothing safe, and there's no financial lifeboats out there big enough to handle the numbers that are going to be seeking flight all over the world, someplace that's safe. Hence the breakout in gold. Nothing has been resolved anywhere fundamentally in any of the economic pictures. We know that oil is in extremely short supply, and yet the signs of collapse now are multiplying to the point where Collapse Network, we're cycling stories through extremely quickly. We're trying just to find the most important ones to bring you the ones that paint the picture. But where we are now is, again, I kind of touched this at the beginning of the show, but I want to come back here. Many of us for a long time in the peak oil movement, since I started with it, about 2001, 2002, which became the transition movement, which became all of this, we kind of had maybe the hope, the wish, that we would somehow be able to disengage, step aside, and somehow not be touched by the crumbling edifice of industrial civilization. And it's obvious that that's not true. What we have now with the climatological changes, we have a great article on three ways we're rushing to extinction on Breaking News. With everything that's happening at an increasing pace now, Fukushima is ridiculous. And the fact that mainstream news will not touch that is not even telling us that in Toronto they're getting much greater releases of radiation than ever, and that we have a China syndrome underway in Fukushima is very clear. That also now that it's almost impossible to trust any of the mainstream analysis that's out there or what they lead with, and I don't think we have begun to see crazy yet. I don't think we've even begun to see how ludicrous some of these statements can be. Half of the children in Fukushima Prefecture are contaminated with radiation. That's what's known so far. So nothing can recover from this. That's the point. We all always come back to that G word. Oh, we got a caller. Okay, we'll come on here in just a second. Let me just finish this thought. The G word is growth. And the system that is trying to perpetuate growth and tell you that it's in your best interest is trying to kill you. I will say that until it clicks, and I will keep saying that until it's clear. So you can't expect any of these so-called solutions that you might hear of. Solutions? Yeah, right. Are always predicated on growth. And that's the enemy. And somehow we're going to have to find a way to take the beast out without getting violent. Again, I repeat, for all of you out there under 30, for all of the angry young people around the world, yeah, you're getting royally screwed. But please don't take to the streets with violence. That's what they want. In India, there's some amazing nonviolent stuff going on. And we need to find ways to unplug. And the only way that I can think of to unplug, the fastest way, is for anybody who's got financial investments now to just liquidate. You ain't got much to lose anyway. And even if you think you're going to hold on to something or recover your 401k, if you have a 401k that you're hoping will come back right now, what you're hoping is that five people will lose their jobs so that your 401k could come back. Can you live with that? We have to find a way. And we have to become proactive now. We just can't sit on the sidelines and pretend that we're not involved. We are all involved. We're all one planet. We're all under one sky. We're all one country now. A country of humankind, because we're all going down together, or not. Some of us will survive, but none of us anywhere are immune from these mega catastrophes that are now taking place around the world. I got a caller, Robert from the Bronx. Are you there?
Michael, how are you?
I'm okay.
Okay, good. My question this evening is, I've heard you mention a couple times, refer to Alex Jones with perhaps skepticism, or can you elaborate on that a bit?
No, it's outright contempt.
Okay.
I've caught the man falsifying stories, and he absolutely brutalized the family of my good friend Gary Webb after Gary committed suicide.
Uh-huh.
He has been selling the wrong stuff. You know, and disinformation, in order to be effective, has to be 90% accurate, period.
Right. So, I mean, what is there something in particular that...
that's about as clear as I can get.
Is it misleading people?
If you choose to follow the advice of somebody who I will tell you I have... He's welcome to sue me. Wouldn't get to court now anyway, it's collapsed, but he's welcome to sue me. I still got the emails. He falsified a story about the U.S. government coming to take guns, and he was putting that out, and I read the bill he was talking about. As a matter of fact, there was a provision saying that any confiscation or forced registration of firearms was prohibited, grandfathered.
Right.
Now, I'm going to end this discussion because it's my show, and I'm not letting Alex Jones or you have it, okay? But if you choose to trust someone like that, man, that's on you.
Okay. All right.
Thanks
All
for
right.
calling,
thanks,
man.
Thanks. Yep.
Fine. Okay. Whew. Of course, that has to come up. But, you know, sometimes there's no point in... Oh, here's some good news. Layoffs are sweeping Wall Street, along with low morale. A Reuters story that just went up. That massive layoffs are taking place all over the street. That's another really bad sign. I think the gold breakout is going to cause more heart attacks, but we have to wait and see what the markets do tomorrow. In the meantime, if you're new with this, if you have just become aware of the issues of collapse, peak oil, and all the stuff that so many of us have been predicting for such a long time, catch a breath. You still have time. You know, I'm going to say this line again. I know it's cliched, but if a bear attacks your camp, you don't have to be faster than the bear, just the slowest camper. And at CollapseNet.com, CollapseNetwork.com, go to the Lighthouse Directory, even if you think you're prepared. There are checklists. There's 1,500 entries that you can sort in many different directions, all free of charge, and double-check your current state of preparedness. I am extremely worried about civil unrest and, of course, a major downturn in another major downturn, a continuation of the going off the whatever, is only going to make that tinder much, much drier and make the kindling point much, much lower before things really go south. So if you're in the cities, you need to be, you need fresh water, you need food, you need lots of batteries, you need first aid kit, you certainly need to know your neighbors. And this is not a comprehensive checklist, but I've been recommending 3 months' worth of food now. But double-check everything that you've got right now to make sure that you're ready, because all the signs indicate that next week is really not going to be a very pleasant week for a lot of people. And, you know, we can all wish to wake me when it's over. So, anyway, I'm kind of drifting because, you know, there's so many things out there. Even for me, it's hard. I have to stay focused on the bad stuff. I'm so disgusted with the British government. I am so disgusted with David Cameron. I am so disgusted. I'm very pleased about major turns that are taking place in the Rupert Murdoch scandal. James Murdoch may be going to jail, and one of their sources now is going to be ordered to name names about who at News Corp ordered him to wiretap phones. And, of course, this is all one big seamless web. It's not just Fox News and Rupert Murdoch. That's where the banks and the governments all blend together in one big miasma of corruption. But I'm so outraged at the heavy-handedness of the British government and David Cameron's arrogant, highbrow lecturing to the generation that just rioted about morals when his chief communications advisor was one of the guys tapping people's phones. We have to find things to do with that anger, don't we? And in this country, it's the special committee, the secret committee, the super committee is convening, and we have shown on CollapseNet that many of their campaign that they're receiving, the senators and congressmen are receiving massive campaign donations all of a sudden. Well, what the heck? Bank of America wants to run Rick Perry. Maybe the aha moment that Dmitry Orlov, my good friend who's been on this show many times, has talked about comes in stages. There's an aha moment for the economy, an aha moment for politics, an aha moment. But somebody out there say Ron Paul's name. Somebody out there say my name. Somebody out there recognize peak oil. Somebody out there listen to the millions of us who understand that infinite growth is the enemy and the collapse is underway. And who have really been doing a better job of talking about the world than anybody else. Speaking of that, coming back on the show either next week or the week after will be Peter Joseph of Zeitgeist. I've been trying to, again, build those bridges, and there have been some changes. Zeitgeist and the Venus Project are no longer affiliated, but it turns out they're extremely active, and they've got a lot of stuff going, and there's a lot of voices out there that need to and want to be heard. So we do what we can. So we just, we do what we can. In the meantime, I'm looking forward to September 11th in Portland. I'm certainly looking forward to Duff's Garage. And we've run out of the emails tonight, and we've run out of calls. And I'm kind of tired. I think I'm going to go have some dinner and take a good night off because tomorrow's going to be a busy day. I'll see all of you on CollapseNet. You all take care. We'll see you next week on the Lifeboat Hour.
It all happens so fast.